All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in just a moment. Monday night or tonight, Eagles favored big over the Giants. Eli Manning's playing tonight.
What if Eli has, like, the game of his life?
Well, he's got an opportunity to mix up the NFC East that much more, right? Like, he's got a chance to, if he finds a way to beat Philly or the Giants beat the Eagles tonight, the Cowboys are right back into the driver's seat.
And the Eagles?
No, they won't play each other.
But,
Dallas
but
and
I mean,
Philly
like
play.
That could put them in a real tough spot.
Yeah, you got three games left. You got to leapfrog the Cowboys at that point. And to tee up the game and look at a bunch of other stories throughout the NFL, here's our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer and host of FS1 Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley. What are the chances Eli and the Giants find a way to win tonight?
About the same chances as somebody getting that hockey trivia you just gave out. That was tough, man.
That's not good, man. You're not going to be able to pick that one up, will you?
Not many clues given even to the hockey enthusiast, let alone me sitting over here. I was like, wow, that's it?
Yeah.
No one's winning that one.
No, these are tough tickets, man. It's a tough ticket to get at this point, so we don't just hand them out. You got to grind. You got to think before you get these tickets, but... Yeah, that probably puts
like
it into
that.
Perspective. I mean, the Eagles, what I've found funny about the last couple of days is apparently they had one of these, you know, rah-rah meetings and, you know, Kelce, their center, got up and was like in tears trying to gather the boys and get the boys fired up. And Doug Peterson went in there and he said a bunch of inspirational words. I mean, how inspired do you have to beat the Giants? Like, how much is that even going to matter?
Exactly. I used to hate those little team-only, player-only meetings we would have. And I was like, you're sitting there because everyone's going to say all the cliches they can in 1 minute. And it's just a bunch of yelling. And I'm going to do better. You're going to do better. Yeah, I think we've already been trying to do our best. Maybe it's not about working harder. Let's work a little smarter or, I don't know, maybe be more talented. But it doesn't take all that to get you going, and it shouldn't take all that in the losing situations. I think I've played on four or five teams where we had that player-only meeting, and it didn't stop the bleeding, let's just say that. That said, this Eagles team does have talent, not necessarily the chemistry and the consistency they need to win this division. I think Dallas is going to end up winning this division, but certainly tonight, if you look at them playing the lowly Giants, they should have an advantage, except we thought they had an advantage when they were playing the lowly Miami Dolphins, and we saw how that turned out. So I think a lot of that yelling was just about these guys staying locked in, staying focused, and hopefully doing what's expected, which is winning tonight.
Well, the New England Patriots have been seeking out advantages for a long time and trying to dance around the rules or circumvent the rules. And there was a bit of a groundbreaking report earlier today that there was a videographer in Cleveland yesterday taping the Cincinnati Bengals sideline. And we all know that the Patriots are playing Cincinnati next week. Again, I don't know why you would need that intel. The Bengals have one win. You should be able to win that game blind. But nevertheless... It's the Pats. They got a history. They try to get it out through the media that they were actually just doing a documentary on a scout, and it just happened to be a game featuring the Bengals. But Diana Russini of ESPN just sent these tweets out like 5 minutes ago, and Russini was the one that broke this whole story out. And she has just tweeted out, a source tells me a Bengals employee was watching the videographer cameraman who identified himself as a Robert Kraft employee. The Bengals employee kept an eye on that monitor. The shot was of the Bengals coaches and staff on the sidelines for the entire first quarter. And then the Bengals employee flagged media relations. Bengals security then interviewed the Kraft videographer. This was also taped. And then the cameraman working for the Pats asked if they could just delete the footage and it all be forgotten per sources. Where do you see this going, Marcellus Wiley?
Oh, man, interesting. Just in that story alone, for him to announce that he's a Kraft employee kind of makes me lean towards it wasn't as devious as we're taking it. Why would you out yourself in that capacity? I mean, do you show up with a camera with a Patriot sticker on it or not? I mean, you don't have to necessarily out yourself if you're really up to something. So that's one in the favor of the Patriots. But that said, look, we've all learned this about human behavior. The rules are not necessarily what makes you act disciplined. It's the consequences. So if the NFL doesn't take great consequence off of someone breaking the rules in this manner, what's to make them want to actually do the right things by the rules? So in a game where we're all trying to play gamesmanship and get a leg up, and I used to try and steal Peyton Manning signals, and I tell you, one time we actually had him nailed when I was in Buffalo. We knew his signals for run and pass. I think it was Rambo was like run right, and then he would go lefty, and that meant like we're going to pass it. And we nailed him in the first half. Like it was like 6 for 6 or something on audibles. And we come out in the second half, and you go, Rambo, Rambo. We're like, here comes 7 for 7. And that dude threw a ball so far over our heads because we were all playing the run. And the point is, all this evidence, all of this analysis is to help you anticipate, but you can't guess. So you still got to go out there and play. But so far, that looks like it's going to be a lot to do about nothing unless the NFL makes something bigger of it.
Well, if it's true, though, that the cameraman said, hey, do you mind if I just delete it? And then, you know, no one has to worry about it.
Nothing to see here,
nothing
folks.
To see here. That could be a little bit incriminating, I think. But in terms of the Patriots in general, you know, they're 10-3. They lose again yesterday. First time they've lost at home in like a year and a half. Everyone's waiting for the dynasty to crumble. Right, like we just saw it with Golden State, so we're loving this new era where dynasties are going down. Last time I checked, 10-3, and yeah, you lose in December, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to lose in January. I still need to see a team beat them in the playoffs for me to determine that Brady and Belichick are done. Where do you stand on this narrative?
I'm right there with you, brother. Look, the team has been in the last 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. And they're 10-3 right now with losses to the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Texans. Teams that they're going to see again have an ability to correct their mistakes and have an opportunity to go out there and win. Look, let's talk about this game this weekend against the Chiefs. A couple of calls here and there, and that's easily a Patriots win. So I'm not writing them off. You can't throw dirt on the Patriots until you see it happen when it matters most, and that's going to be in January. So this time last year, a lot of people were out on the Patriots saying, oh, they can't win the Super Bowl again. And what happened? They lost 2 games in December to 2 non-playoff teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins. Look how ugly it must have felt up in Foxborough at that time, losing to those sorry teams. And look up a month later, they're the Super Bowl champions, man. So until you show me evidence, and that's not just conjecture and analysis and opinion, actual evidence loss in January, I'm still betting with the Patriots.
With Marcellus Wiley, only the Browns could get a win and then create controversy afterwards, but that's exactly what happened yesterday with the reports out there that Odell Beckham Jr. wants out. I don't think anyone's surprised by that. But he's been dealing with a hernia all year. And Baker Mayfield, who was brutal yesterday.
Why is he such a hero?
He was awful. And he came out, and this is what he had to say, Baker Mayfield, about the Odell Beckham injury and how it's been handled by the Browns.
Been handled right. He's not able to run as well as he should be able to, as well as he knows, and that's frustrating for him. You can sense that's some of his frustration, where that comes from. So it wasn't handled the right way in our training room. So it is what it is. And so his not 100% is still good enough for us. I think he could have been addressed earlier on.
So this guy's got a PhD now on top of being a quarterback. But how much of this, maybe I'm reading into this too much, but he knows that the reports are out there that Beckham Jr. wants out. Do you think a part of this is calculating, he's trying to save and salvage that relationship at the expense of the trainers in the organization?
Oh, absolutely, man. And I think he had to recalculate, and that's where the apologies came from shortly thereafter. Yeah, this is a guy who knows he's not lived up to his end of the bargain and decided to jump on the landmine in hopes that it will get him cred with Odell and cred within that locker room and make Odell reconsider what's his its decision coming in the offseason, which is probably to force his way out of Cleveland. Let's remember, he didn't desire to go to Cleveland. This was a trade situation, and they gave up a lot for him. A first, a third, Andrabil Peppers for Odell Beckham, who's had his worst statistical year while healthy as a Cleveland Brown. So, yeah, this is just a guy who's kind of spinning out of control, Baker Mayfield. It's really been topsy-turvy in terms of trying to understand who is he. But I know one thing he is. He's having a sophomore slump as a quarterback in major categories. He's worse in completion percentage, quarterback rating, fewer touchdowns, and more interceptions. That's all an ugly recipe for disaster. So if you're Odell, basically this comes down to the, I left Eli Manning, who was on his last legs, and came to this quote-unquote franchise quarterback after 1 year who had a 6-7 record, and now I realize he's not that good. Simple as that. You can say I'm not healthy. You can say that, hey, we have a rookie head coach. You can say he's only in his second year, but I think Odell has just come to the realization, not that good. So Odell needs to get himself healthy. This is a time to be selfish and maybe force yourself out of there if you don't believe in Baker Mayfield. But I think Baker caught wind of that and tried to go cover this up and jump in front of it. But Odell still has a decision to make coming up this offseason.
Great stuff, buddy, as always. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer.